Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day, middle of the week Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back out at Flowery Branch tomorrow from 11 to 2 for training camp, broadcasting live. If you're coming out, come by and see us and say what's up. We've had a great time saying hi to all the fans that have been out there the first couple days that we've been. Just awesome to have fans back out there as well. Yes. So looking forward to being back out there tomorrow. A lot to get to here in the final hour. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. Grant McCauley is going to join us in about 20 minutes from right now. Get his thoughts on, you know, obviously the frustration surrounding the season in general, and just kind of made even worse last night with Ronald Acuña getting banged up. Get his thoughts on what maybe they will do or maybe they should do and going forward with Acuña in the remainder of the season. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open. All you got to do is ask.
Mark, you think the Dallas Mavericks are like, damn.
Yes.
All right, because I mean, that's what the revenge body does. You know, you break up with somebody, then all of a sudden they get back in the gym, get back fine or whatever, whatever. You be like, damn. You think Dallas doing that to Luka right now?
Yeah, I do. Too. I think the fans, are all like, oh, great, here you go. You made him mad. He was already one of the best players, and now he's out there working harder. I think the players, you know, probably some of the guys that were on the team when they traded Luka were like, what are we doing? And now they've motivated him. You know, I think Kyrie and AD and some of those guys are probably lying to themselves. Like, we don't need Luka anyway.
Right.
And then I think Nico is probably trying to ignore it.
Yeah. Like, damn, man. The revenge body.
Nico's focusing on Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, man.
That's what he's focusing on, which is a good thing to focus
hell
on.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, the young man seems like he has that talent. But, yeah, I damn near almost swallowed that damn mint yesterday when I heard what a woman said, Luka's revenge body. I was like, damn, Luka done went got fine for the Lakers.
Because that is something that people do, right? We had a listener one time that came up to me at the end of one of our broadcasts at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw and said, we motivated him one time telling stories about something about ex revenge, blah, 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 whatever.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't remember. There was a term that we used. He used. Do you remember what it was?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the term, though.
Like ex flex or something. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, but he was like, you guys talked about it and it motivated me to get in the gym because me and my ex had bought these expensive tickets to a concert we wanted to go to.
Broke up
before the concert got there, but I knew she was going to go and I was going to go too. So he said he spent the next however many months dropping weight, getting fit, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, he got to go and flex on
Yes,
her.
That's what it was. I remember that.
So we've inspired a revenge body as well.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just curious. I'm like, damn, look at Luka.
Look at Luka.
Poor thing. That's just, I mean, yeah, but I know Nico, like, it's like, damn, man. That's all I needed you to do, Luka.
That's all we wanted.
That's all we wanted you to do right
now. That's all we wanted, man.
So you get in the yellow, you get in the purple and gold, and you want to lose all that weight.
Got to go to L.A., man. You get around all those Hollywood stars.
Because Luka, what? Luka,
start wanting
Luka,
to look like one
Luka
of them.
Luka looked the same way.
What do you mean?
That he looked last year in L.A., mostly in Dallas. But he in that L.A. line, like.
Oh, like at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have time to do anything about it yet. Now, he did. He got a little bit as the season, because he was playing.
Right.
Right? Like, in Dallas, when he, you know,
he was hurt
at the end, he wasn't even playing because he had been banged up. So that's probably part of why some of the weight packed on. I mean, he clearly was never like the most like about
defined.
It as far as that goes.
Defined.
You know what I mean? But when you're 25, you can get away with it. As you get older, maybe some of the injuries are creeping up because of that, and maybe that's part of why he did it too. Because there were some people saying that this was going to happen if he was in Dallas anyway.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, I saw that.
We'll never know.
I did see that.
I don't know why they would think that.
Why would y'all think that?
I don't know why they would say that.
I was like, yo, sources close to him saying this was going to be, this is the whole plan when he was going to Dallas.
Because
like,
the trainer that he's working with, he had already hired and all of that. So this is, now that he can do it and he's had time to do it, I guess. I don't know. Here's what I do know. It's funny.
Yes.
It's funny that Luka left and part of the, not left, that Luka's not there anymore. And part of the reason he's not there anymore is because of rumors that they didn't like how fat he had gotten, even though Fat Luka
just took y'all.
Fat Hookah Luka took him to the NBA Finals the year before.
Yes.
And then they trade him, and he gets in really good shape. That is funny to me.
That's funny as hell.
Yeah, that's a good, solid joke now, from Luka Doncic.
I hope he ain't getting in shape just to be on the cover of the magazine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, hopefully, because, you know, he's about to go back to, where is he from, Sylvania?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he's from one of them Venus. Yeah, he's from a Venus. Right. Yeah, he's from one of them Venus. So, yeah, when he go back to one of the Venus, and it's time for international duty and all his you know, as far as playing for his country.
Like, Slovenia, yeah. You got it. You got it.
I know one of them Venus, mm-hmm. but as long as he, you know.
What's your favorite Venia?
Slow? Yeah.
Mine's Pencil. Pennsylvania. Hmm. Or Transyl. Vampires are sexy. Let's get the takeaways of the. Nope, that's not right.
Yeah,
I was ready to go home.
Yeah.
Let's get to the big story.
Were you
dropping
a mic on that crap?
I thought I was.
Were you dropping a mic on Pitt?
Oh, that was funny.
Are you dropping the mic?
That was a good joke. Off the dome.
Were you dropping the mic?
Kinetics. Bow.
Yeah, it happened when I scored from first to home on that play. And yeah, I think, you know, they're going to examine me tomorrow, so we'll see how it goes.
So that's Ronald Acuna's translator talking about when Ronald Acuna tweaked the lower part of his right leg, the Achilles, the calf, that region. Did it on Monday. Talked them into him playing last night. Seemed like he made it worse last night, and now he's on the 10-day IL. My guess is that we've seen the last of Ronald Acuna suiting up for the Atlanta Braves in 2025. I don't know that to be true. He'll try to get back out there, but you know all the reasons. We don't have to go down the long list of reasons why that might be the case. I just think it should be out of caution.
Yeah, man, it sucks. And, you know, he's just hustling. Like I said, when he went first to home, it's something that he felt. And as we talked earlier in the show, like, that's a lot of torque on him because he's such a powerful, explosive athlete. And, you know, it's him lobbying to play, I'm not mad at. I'm not even mad that he let him play. I'm mad that he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and could have been prevented. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm mad. I'm not mad they let him play because players play with tweaks or not even tweaks. Players play with something.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, I mean, if Ronald Acuna is going to be a part of the Braves, which he is, hopefully forever.
He's going to play like
this. He's going to play with little tweaks every now and then.
Yes, he is.
What's the difference sitting him down now for the rest of the season versus not letting him play yesterday if it was tweaked? I understand people's point. And I understand people's frustration. But the frustration is all compounded by everything else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're mad at
Snit for playing him last night because you're mad at Snit and the Braves for everything.
This is a compilation of cluster.
That's right.
This is what this season is. This is what this season has been. You know, and you said it from the first damn game of the season. The first damn game all the way up to now, it's been a complete cluster. And so now it's easy. I won't say it's easy. It's you got to find somebody to blame. Brian Snicker is not absolved from what's going on, but it's not all on him. You know, he can't help that his whole freaking pitching staff got hurt. He can't help the fact that, you know, that some of your best players who you needed to hit were not hitting. I mean, there's so many different things that, you know, that go into a factor of losing like this. But when you talked about, like, all the stuff that's happened, bad stuff that happened, and then for – that right there to happen to him. It didn't happen to damn Profar cheating ass. It didn't happen to nobody. It happened to the best player on your team, one of the best players in baseball, the main attraction for the Braves.
Yep.
Dude, they're going
to play in front of
85,000
people.
I know
Saturday
it's an experience.
So it is. And it'll still be really cool. Like, I don't think anybody who was going is going to not go now. Because Ronald Acuna is not going to be out there.
I know. I was going to go to the Laker game the night before Kobe. The day after Kobe tore his Achilles. We sitting there watching the Laker game. Me and Donna and some of my friends are watching the Laker game.
Right.
Kobe tears the damn Achilles. I ain't going to Staples Center.
Right.
Ain't nobody trying to go up there.
But if you guys would have already been in Bristol,
yeah,
and they would have been playing the Lakers game at the
racetrack.
But
we were in L.A.
No,
I'm sorry. We were in San Diego.
Well, maybe some people won't go then. But, I mean, yeah, that's still fun. So that's something to look forward to on Saturday. And, we'll tune in. It'll be cool to see the game played in the racetrack and all the people that get to go.
You ever try to resell some damn tickets?
Huh?
You ever try to resell some Laker tickets?
Oh, when no, Kobe's not hurt, after Kobe when hurt his Achilles.
You just see me trying to get up out there, trying to get rid of them damn tickets.
I remember, what was it? My buddy had tickets to some Laker thing. Maybe it was a LeBron. My buddy had tickets when they thought LeBron was going to break the scoring record, and then he wasn't going to play.
Oh, man.
And he tried to resell them, and he couldn't resell them.
Dude. Trying to resell them damn Laker tickets.
And then he played the next game and broke it.
Yeah, I would have been so hot. trying to resell some damn tickets because Kobe ain't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, they're not going to give you a refund on the rest of the season because Acuna's not going to be out there.
No.
And they're not, well, again, he might be. Who knows? Maybe in 3 weeks he'll be back out there. But, yeah, I mean, it's a franchise-wide failure this season. An unexpected one, too. I mean, that's the thing that probably makes it even worse is nobody saw it coming. Like, nobody, even the most pessimistic of Braves fans, wouldn't have thought at this point we'd be talking about a 45-61
no,
team.
No, they would not.
Yeah. And there's no way that you can blame just one person for that. But you can blame a lot of people for it.
It's just been that year. We are, and I don't know where Baltimore is over there on the American League, but I mean, there's no doubt the Braves are the most disappointing team in the National League.
I don't think there's been a more disappointing. I can't think of a more disappointing team in the history that we've been doing this show. Like, what team has ever bottomed out worse than this with the expectations being as high?
None.
Like, we might say maybe the Falcons will finish above 500, and they don't. You know what I mean? Like, the expectations are such a big part of why the frustration is where it is. You know what I hope? I don't think this is going to be popular, but I don't care. I hope Snit doesn't want to go out like this.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
I hope Snit finds it in the pride section of his heart to say, you know what? 49's not a round number. And I don't want to. We're not making the playoffs. Let's make it a smooth 50. Let's run this thing back.
Now.
Give me one more crack at it.
He don't have a contract for this.
I know.
So that would require –
just give me the 1 year.
That would require Alex to be like
– I know. It's all so easy to move on from him at the end of this season and almost lay blame at his feet, which I don't think it should. Like, I don't think – I mean, again, some of it is because it's all – everybody should be blamed. But, I mean, it's not his fault the bullpen's populated by that group. It's not his fault the starting five pitchers are all on the 60-day IL.
Five of them.
It's not his fault with the Cunha or the PEDs or any of this stuff. None of it is. I don't think any of it is. Give him another run.
Okay.
Let him come back for another year.
Yeah, I doubt they do that, though.
I just think that they should.
Yeah, I doubt they do that. I think they're in this situation.
What if he wants it?
But
what if he's like, damn it, this season's been too frustrating. I would hate to go off into retirement.
I would hope he would.
This being my final year.
I would really hope he would.
Alex, please.
No, hell no.
Give me one more.
Oh, I'm not pleasing nothing.
Why not? You could say please.
No.
What's wrong with please?
No. Schnitt does not have to say please to Alex Anthopoulos for his job.
Okay. Don't get caught up on that. Alex, what do you say?
Okay.
Say it how you'd like to say it. You're caught up on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Alex, I'd like one more year.
Yeah. Or what do you... Alex,
por favor.
Alex, come on out here, man.
Make you feel better.
I'm out here sitting on the lake at the lake, man. I wanted to talk to you. Yeah, I'm thinking. You know what? I'm not ready to retire.
I don't want to ride off in the sunset like this.
I can't let my last year be that right there.
Let's go one more.
I owe it to you and the people that you work for.
I owe it to my Braves legacy to give it one more try.
And I owe it to these guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're Alex.
Well, let me go talk to the guys I work for.
Click.
Yeah. Let me go talk. Let me go talk to the guys I work for.
And, bad service.
I'll get back to you. All right.
I hope he does. I hope he says, I don't want to go out like this. I want one more year. I want Snit back for one more year.
Don't deserve to go out like this, man.
Yeah. 49 years is a long time with an organization for this to be the way that it ends. We'll come back and talk to Grant McCaw. Maybe Grant has a thought on that. I don't know. Grant will talk some Braves baseball with us next, as he always does at 1:20 on Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an AMA. Any question, any topic, the phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. All you got to do is call us up and ask us whatever you'd like. But this time on Wednesdays is time for Grant McCauley. Now, Grant, we banned a phrase from this show a couple of years ago, which, well, it can't get any worse than this, because it just always seems to. So we haven't been saying it, so this isn't on us. But obviously last night with Ronald Acuna and his injury, and now he's on the 10-day IL, is awful, added to a list of many other awful things this year. What do you think the plan with him will be for the remainder of the year?
It's hard to say, other than obviously you want to exercise caution. And I know that there was a lot of very visceral response last night online. And look, I understand the frustration of having to go through a year like this, watching things transpire in the way that they have, and then seeing and hearing that, hey, you know, maybe Ronald was feeling some discomfort, some soreness prior to this, and he didn't just sit out, and they didn't just decide to shut him down for the season, and, you know, these kinds of things. And I understand that. But the thing I think that really stands out to me for spending 21 years around the game is guys play hurt all the time, and there's a difference between hurt and injured. I will also stipulate there is a difference between Ronald Acuna Jr. and virtually every other player on the roster, especially given his injury history. So I understand the frustration, but I don't think that anyone, Ronald included, walked into last night's game thinking, okay, well, there's a very good chance I'm just going to make this injury worse. Obviously, in hindsight, I think everybody would handle it differently, but ultimately, pending the test results today, the imaging is going to get done. Hopefully, this is something that we'll be able to clear up in a few weeks, and he'll be able to play again, and he'll be fine playing again because he wants to be on the field. He made that quite clear last night that, hey, I've already missed so much time with injury. I just wanted to get back out there, and I felt, you know, compelled to play. And I think that he has and does feel that way for quite a while. So as far as the plan is concerned, I think you just have to exercise as much caution as you can, but you cannot properly predict injuries. You certainly can't prevent all injuries because things just have a way of happening when you get on the field or on the court or on the ice, whatever the case is. You just want to do the best you can to put him in a position where he's playing at as close to 100% as he can possibly be.
Do you think, so you're looking at, because the timeline was 2 to 3 weeks, so you do anticipate him coming back sometime this year?
Unless the imaging today shows something more significant, right, I think that is the timeline that we're looking for, yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about some of the moves. I know we saw Fetty make his debut last night with the Braves. Carrasco was picked up. I know they just made a trade a few minutes ago as well. Tell us about some of the pitching moves that they've made this week.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the most recent one, which was the one the Braves just announced, which is picking up right-hander Tyler Kinley from the Rockies. He's a 34-year-old veteran who's pitched for parts of 8 years in the major leagues. And you might look at the ERA, and trust me, I get it, it's over five. It doesn't look altogether that promising. But he does have some good peripherals when you look at the overall pitch mix and his StatCast page. And he pitched better in Colorado, away from Colorado, excuse me, than in Coors Field. So they're just trying to make an incremental improvement because at this point, Eniel De Los Santos has kind of reverted to being what I think a lot of people were afraid might happen just based on the last couple of years. He was great for a couple of months. I mean, to the point where it was like surprisingly good. And, you know, they've leaned on him a little bit more in the last month, 5 weeks, and it just has cratered and moved the other direction. It's a sub-3 ERA, first, I think, 28 appearances, last 15 outings, an ERA over 8. So you just kind of have to find what you can to make it a little bit better because this bullpen has been absolutely battered in the second half and really in the entire month of July. And I went back and looked at this, and I talked about it on From the Diamonds. You know, once Spencer Schwellenbach and Chris Sale right before that went down, the Braves had thrown, I believe, the fifth most innings of any rotation in baseball at that time. Now they have thrown since then the third fewest, which means their bullpen has had to throw the most innings in baseball. So they're trying to work around that with the limited means that I think that they really have to throw at this problem, because they're not going to trade big prospects for players to help them out on short-term arrangements for this year. You're really not in a position where you're going to go out and start buying based on really 2025 at all. And 2026, I think you could probably just reassess over the winter. So now you get the Eric Fettes and the Dane Dunnings and the Carlos Carrascos and whatever bullpen moves that you can make, just because you need warm bodies and guys that can cover some innings. You can't just bring up your AAA guys and say, hey, this is a good prospect, let's just throw them to the Wolves. We've already seen that happen once this year. You don't need to see it happen for the next 2 months.
So you mean, so are there more Fettes on the horizon, Grant?
I think so, yeah. I mean, do you, are you going to pick up like seven of these guys? Well, no, of course not. But you have to find some people who have shown, at least in the past, that they have had some track record of pitching at the big league level, because I really don't think that you want to take the Didier Fuentes, you know, example and make that worse for other prospects. You know, you have J.R. Ritchie in AAA right now, and I know some people are intrigued by him, but he's on that way back from Tommy John surgery. I think he's already kind of reaching, I would believe, an innings limit for this year. I don't think you're really factoring him into your plans. Blake Burkhalter, kind of the same thing. I mean, he may be a little further along and further removed from Tommy John, but do you really just want to, again, bring these guys? I've seen a lot of this. I get, you know, a lot of feedback on social media. Yeah, just bring the kids up. Just let them take their lumps. Like, well, nobody's going to enjoy that either. And if you set their development back or just don't put them in a position to succeed, you know, there's going to be an equal side of the other side of the coin where people are going to be angry that the Braves are once again just not really doing right by the prospects, if you will. And we've seen a lot of this dialogue, and that's why I throw it all out there. Is it 100% correct or wrong? Who's to say? Who knows what's going on this year, and who knows how they can get through it? They just got to figure out a way, and that's why we're seeing this kind of carousel of moves, and there may be more on the way from just cast-offs from other teams trimming their rosters in the next 48 hours or more.
Let me ask you like a slightly positive one, at least I think a slightly positive one. We've now seen 14 starts from Strider since coming back from injury. And after like the first five or so, I think we've gotten a little bit of a clearer idea kind of what he looks like. What have you made of how he's looked, and kind of what direction is he heading in, and maybe what can he work on in the final month and a half or so, 2 months?
I think he's looked pretty good, especially after those first five. And I would be inclined also to say, look, he did all that work. He got himself all the way back. He made one start, and then he had to go through another month of rehab for the hamstring. And I think that may have been something that really was contributing to some of the early woes for him. But he continues to just, I think, refine the pitch mix. I mean, I know he's been very, you know, what's the word I'm looking at? Focused, I guess, on the shape of his slider and his pitch usage and all of the things that, you know, somebody who hasn't been on the mound for a year is just kind of having to work through. And 2025 is a bit of that for him. But we're starting to see a lot more swing and miss. I know he'd like to cut down on the walks. That's been a little bit problematic here lately. But overall, I think it's just kind of rebuilding, getting back to that point where you feel like you can go out there and throw a solid or strong six innings and feel like Spencer Strider afterwards. And I think he's done pretty well for the most part with that. I think that if you listen to Spencer Strider after his starts, he'll let you know whether or not he felt like it was good enough for him, and oftentimes it's not. But I think that's one of the things that makes him great, because he is that competitive and that dialed in and that focused on trying to be, as he said many times, 1% better than yesterday. But I think that a lot of this is just trying to knock the rust off, trying to get more fine with what you're doing with your pitch mix, and obviously setting yourself up for hopefully more success in the future.
Hey, Grant, I know we've asked you this question, but it's starting to seem like it's heating up, because not only the Braves are making moves, but other teams around the league are making some moves. Marcel's had a couple of nice days out there in Kansas City. Do you think him or somebody in the bullpen does get moved sooner rather than later?
I definitely do. I mean, it's 6 p.m. tomorrow is the trade deadline. So we're kind of in the final countdown of Marcelo Ozuna in a Braves uniform, I think, Raisel Iglesias. There's been some talk about Pierce Johnson. And then I've also heard people saying, well, he's under control for next year. And, you know, they've said they don't want to trade people under control for, you know, next year. I think that's more so true of like Chris Sale than it is the option on Pierce Johnson's contract. So it kind of depends. I mean, if you can get something for him, I mean, really, if you're the Braves, it costs you nothing to listen to what people are offering. And if you say no, you say no. And if a deal comes your way that's too good to pass up, maybe we see something that's a little bit more off the board. But my expectation is Marcell Ozuna, Raisel Iglesias, maybe another reliever like a Pierce Johnson, maybe Aaron Bummer. I think that that's a possibility. Maybe you'd like to just kind of move on from that big chunk of money that you owe him and see if there's just somebody out there that's just looking for that lefty ground ball guy that could just help make their bullpen that much better. I mean, maybe he's a guy that fits with a club like the Dodgers that lost Tanner Scott, who, by the way, was somebody that the Braves were looking at very closely this offseason. And, man, could you imagine adding that injury on top of everything else? So it's just going to be a process of figuring out what club is looking for. I think a DH with some power and some on-base skills. There may not be a ton of those guys out there on the market. So maybe you do get a little bit more for Marcell than you expect. But I'd still temper the expectations. Maybe not a huge return, but something just rather nice for the troubles of having to trade away your DH in what has become a lost season for the Braves.
Grant, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Always.
Back.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond. And, even not been a fun year, but always good info from Grant. And wouldn't be surprised, like he said, over the next couple of days. No clue what you're going to get for Ozuna, but maybe a little more because he's hit a couple home runs the last couple of days.
Oh, he's starting to come around.
He's healthy. You trick him.
Why don't we keep him there?
I don't know. All right, we'll come back with an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Couple phone lines free if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Chuck, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Chuck.
Well, it's always been an atmosphere of hope for the Braves ever since I've been a fan. I'm 60 years old now. And it's always been that atmosphere of what's going to happen to snatch a loss from the jaws of victory for the Falcons. Do you all feel that now that the Falcons have some talent and we're feeling good, is that reciprocal approach about inverse action about to happen? Because it's always been that way. But this year seemed like the Braves have just snatched loss from the jaws of victory. And maybe this year the Falcons can reverse it and win some games at the end. We don't have to talk about 28-3, but we do have to talk about 10-4 and 9-2 and that kind of stuff to see a loop. Y'all have a good day. That's my question. What you think about it?
Thanks,
well,
sir.
Chuck, I hope. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that's how it works. Realistically, I don't think either one of them have to do with the other.
No.
I think the Falcons have kind of been what they've been independently. And I think the Braves have been what they've been independently. But if there is some sort of cosmic, like, balance at play, and in order for the Falcons to finally have the year that we want them to have and be the team that we've long wanted them to be, that we have to sacrifice the Braves to do it.
Yes.
All right. Well, the Braves have been sacrificed.
The Braves have been sacrificed.
We did it.
Yes. They are the lamb.
They are.
They are.
They are.
They are the lamb.
Sacrificed.
Yes.
So
yes.
Now I guess we get to see. Because that part happened.
Yep. It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, it's over, but it ain't over because we still got it. They still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to still broadcast the sacrifice every night.
Yeah, yeah. The game ain't over. The season ain't over. That's the worst part about it.
But if that's how it works, then great. Great.
So
I hope. I don't think that's how it works, but maybe it is.
So be it.
Tababi is in Atlanta. Hey, Tababi.
Hey, y'all. So first question, y'all been saying y'all are number one, and I know y'all are number one in the streets. We love y'all out here. I didn't know if that meant y'all are officially number one, like, overall, or if that just meant for, like, you know, the 11-2 spot. So just wanted to know, is it official y'all are the best station in the whole state, everybody knows that now, or How is that? And secondly, unfortunately, I'm going to have to buy a new car. Oh, but luckily,
damn.
Situation came up where family friend has, you know, the grandma special, the low miles, garage kept, dealer service.
Wonderful. So that's the best kind to get.
Very thankful that popped up. But it's a grandma car.
What's a grandma car?
I was just wondering.
Yeah, what is it?
What's a grandma car?
That's what I was going to ask y'all. All right, so this particular grandma car is the it's a Lexus RX 330.
Okay.
So it's that Lexus that you see a lot of old folks in. It's the SUV is kind of round, looks like a well to me. But the epitome of a grandma car to me, like whenever you hear a grandma car, I always think of the Buick Park Ave.
Yeah.
And if you ever see a dude driving the Buick Park Ave, and he got a wife beater on. Leave that brother alone. He's going through some stuff.
Yeah.
So what's the y'all's idea of grandma car?
My grandma. That was my grandma's car.
The Buick?
Yeah. Grandma had the Buick. She damn sure did.
I really do associate Buicks with grandparents.
Yes. Grandma had that Buick.
My grandpa drove a Buick my whole childhood.
Yeah.
An Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Kind of went back and forth.
Oldsmobile. Grandma had the Buick.
My grammy had a Chevy something station wagon.
So oh,
that, like the old white.
The old, with the.
It
with,
didn't have the wood panels. Grain?
Oh, but, it didn't have it. Okay,
but it would have.
Right.
You know, it was that type. It just didn't have
the family them. Truckster.
Yeah, it was, so that's what I think of as when I think of kind of a grandma car. I just googled the Lexus RX. That thing looks great.
My wife has my wife has.
That looks like a nice car,
yeah,
man.
She,
like
yeah, that's what she has.
If you're getting the good, like clean title, low mileage, grandma driven Lexus RX,
yeah, that's my
do
wife.
It.
That's my wife has.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Oh, yeah, as for the first part, yeah, we're number one. We're just like a real,
yeah, no,
it's like a rallying cry.
It's a rallying.
We're number one.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. We'll say it. For the first time in the history of the show, in the year's broken down into quarters, right? 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, into quarters. In the spring quarter from April, May, June, we had the number one highest rated show in the middays.
Yes.
In the whole city.
Yes.
So we were number one.
Yes.
And it's the highest rated sports radio show in Atlanta.
Yes. And
that's number one.
And we finally beat the damn river.
We finally
beat the damn river. We've been third. We've been third in this spot.
Speaking of grandma cars.
We've been third.
We've been top three
the whole time. We've been top three the whole time.
It's just hard to crack hard into
to,
the river.
To beat the damn river.
We finally did it.
Yeah.
We finally did
the
it.
Damn river.
You know what really made me mad one time?
Yeah.
I got in my dad's car.
Yeah,
you know what was on?
The river.
The damn river.
Yes. Yes. The damn river.
Anyway, yeah. So we did. We're very proud. Magic Fred is in Hamilton. Hey, Magic Fred.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Randy. How are y'all today?
Hello, Fred.
What's
We're
up,
great.
Fred? What's up, doggy?
Well, man, you know I've been with you guys a long time. I just want to offer my congratulations.
Thank you, Fred.
It's always well-deserved if you're number one.
Thank you,
I have a kind of a weird question. Is it possible for you, Andy and Randy, to maybe do a pre-football thing before the Falcons all come on, like when Dave and Wes come on? Is that something you guys have been asked, or have you even talked about it at all? And I'll hang up and listen and love you guys, and congratulations again.
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate
Thank you, Fred.
It.
We used to do the Wave Before Tailgate show, me and Randy did.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah, man. It was a blast. It was a blast until it got cold having to sit out in that damn parking lot.
Yeah.
But
here, just talk for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Talk. Okay. But, we do have Wes and Dave on all the time, don't we, before the season?
Yeah, we'll have regular hits with Wes.
Yeah,
or
we have
Dave.
Regular. Yeah, we have both of them.
But then there is still a
you can say it
pregame show on Sports Radio 929 every year. So I guess he was asking if y'all were going to be on it specifically.
Oh. I was just making sure I could say what I'm about
to say. I was like, are you going to tell them?
Yeah. Okay. I'm hosting the Wade Ford Tailgate show this year.
Okay, that's what I was like.
I didn't know
that's
if it was.
That's why I was looking at you. I was like,
yeah, I had never gotten because I got the don't say anything about it yet last week.
Okay.
And so I hadn't said anything about it.
Okay.
So that's why I had to do that.
Yeah.
Me and Joe Patrick are going to host the Wade Ford Tailgate show this year.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at it. I was like, you going to tell them that you're doing the Wade Ford?
I wanted to. I just didn't. You know how it is around here. Everything's got to be a secret.
Everybody's damn secret, so it's not.
Yeah. So, no. Me and Smoke and Joe will be the Wade Ford Tailgate show duo all year.
Sweet.
So there you go, Fred. Ask and you shall receive. Josh is in Austell. Hey, Josh.
Hey, y'all. This is the first time I called, a long time listener and everything.
Thank you.
Just had two questions, one for each of y'all.
All right.
I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. I know you grew up in Seattle and everything. What do you think they're going to do this year? And Randy, you played football before and everything. I've watched some football, basketball games and everything. I just see some star do something that extremely hard, but they make it so much with ease, and you can just tell by their face, like, no matter what they're going to do that day, that they're going to win.
Right.
Was there ever a time in your career that you ever did something like that? I'm going to hang up and just listen.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Like, you in the zone, sort of?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like that. Meaning that, yes, I've been in one of those, and just, like, every time. Like, the Hobnail Boat game, I was in the damn zone. Because some of the catches that I made – was like, and I'll say it, it was freaking ridiculous. Yeah. I was flying through the air catching the ball. I remember my first All-Star when I was in high school, the one that Corey, I would say I stole his MVP in the zone. Like,
what does it feel like?
It's
because, like, people always talk about you just sort of, you know, almost like zone out.
You zone out.
Yeah.
Everything is slow motion, but and you feel it. And like, it's like I said, I'll never forget Tennessee game, but first catch, Andy, and I'm coming across the middle. And to this day, I don't know why Greeny threw that damn ball. But I just remember I just dove and laid my body. I didn't even see the ball. I knew where the ball was coming. Didn't even see it because I had a defender on me. And I just put my hands out there, and the ball just stuck in my hands. And then another one, it was like, okay.
And that was early, right?
Yes. I was like,
you're like, oh, today might be
that's
something.
That's exactly what I said. I said, oh, blank. Y'all in trouble.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Then, like, Houston – played the Texans when everybody was hurt.
In the NFL, yeah.
NFL. Okay. I was like, okay.
Who are you playing for?
I was playing Chargers.
Okay.
And everybody was hurt that game. And I was like, okay. And then first touchdown catch, I was like, oh, blank. So, yeah, you're getting that thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
As for the Seahawks, I think they're going to be pretty good.
I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good.
I think they're going to be all right.
I'd be shocked if they go as far as the NFC Championship game, but I wouldn't be surprised if they make
division.
The playoffs.
That's a good division. That's a good damn division.
I just think if their defense can stay healthy, I think they got a really, really talented defense. And I don't know, man. I don't really buy Sam Darnold that much. Like, I'm not a huge Sam Darnold believer after 1 year. I don't know that he's really like an upgrade over Geno. But I do think the defense is going to be better.
I think the defense is going to be fine. Defense got some really good young players.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of Sam Darnold.
But I could see like 10-7. I could see them getting the playoffs. I don't know what their full schedule looks like, but I think it's a tough division. I think the Rams are going to be really good this year. If McCaffrey's healthy, the 49ers are always good.
Yes.
I think the Cardinals are actually pretty interesting too.
They're like, interesting. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't buy them. I don't think that, exactly. But they'll sneak up and beat you, though.
Oh, man, real quick.
Split the season series.
That I love coming out the draft, Maxwell Hairston, who was the first-round pick kid out of Kentucky, torn ACL.
Ah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Revealed that it's intact. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay, so he's fine. I thought he said towards ACL. Revealed, because he got hurt his knee yesterday. LCL sprain. Could be back in a few weeks.
Oh, great. Again,
I was like,
what a roller coaster of emotions.
All I saw was ACL. I was like, oh no. Oh, jeez. Could be intact.
That's great. Yes. Intact. That's intact. How you want your ACLs.
Hell yeah.
Intact. Josh is in Swanee. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Real quick, I have a comment. Earlier, you guys were talking about the difference between walking on the golf course and driving a golf cart.
Yeah.
I'm a UPS driver, and I'm currently in one of the country clubs in the Sugarloaf area. And as you guys were having that conversation, a guy walked across the street in front of me with one of those remote control golf bags.
I've seen those.
Like an RC, like one of those RC Tyco.
I've seen those.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I do have a question for Bo. Hey, Bo, my daughter plays softball, and the association that she plays with has reached out to me saying that they need one more head coach for 8U this year. I haven't decided if I'm going to do it yet. Do you have any advice for a first-year head coach with recreation softball? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Josh, and thanks for delivering those packages.
Oh, wow. Okay, I had to Google that real quick, remote control golf cart.
Yeah, they have that.
I was like, wow.
It's like a little, you know, put it on stand on the wheels, and then you can control it with a little
Damn it, these things are expensive as hell.
Dude, everything in golf's expensive as hell.
God almighty.
Oh, yeah. So, first off, do it, because it's a crap ton of fun. You'll never do anything. I haven't done anything that I love more in my entire life than do this right here, and I would actually like to pursue it past even when Olivia's done. Look, it's rec ball, so your job is to develop kids. That comes first over wins. So do what you can to get kids spread around a little bit, help them learn the game, learn the position, but also read the rules yourself. There's a lot of rules when you get to different age groups that are different as you move up. Mm-hmm. So just know what the rules are going in so you can be familiar with it and whatnot. And your job, especially at 8U, is to make sure that every kid wants to play next season. Make sure they have fun.
That's
number one job overall.
Fantastic advice. Thank you, Bo. Wade is in Stockbridge. Hey, Wade.
Wade!
This is Lee in Stockbridge.
Oh, hey, Lee. Yes, sir. What's up, Lee?
Oh, not much. I got a question for both of y'all.
All right.
And I don't know really know what you call them. I guess the court custodian or the people that go out there and wipe down the basketball floor when the guys fall down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If one of you guys were employed doing that, what would you have done with the situation last night?
Thank you, Wade. Man. Now, I did see what did happen. A police officer went over there and picked it up with a towel.
Yes. And rightfully so. You don't know where it's been.
You don't know where it's been. If it's used, I mean.
Yeah. I would have laughed.
I would have, if you and me were the, what do you call it, like the court, the sweepers. We were the court sweepers.
I would have swept it under the seat.
I would have looked at you and saw if you were going
to
do
it. Yeah, I would have tried to play it off and like do the slick sweep and sweep it up under the chair.
That, or I would have acted like I had the other side of the court.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, somebody spilled some beer.
Yeah.
I got to clean that up. But you got that right, Randy?
Yeah, if I had to do it, I would have smooth like turned my head and like,
boop.
Yeah, I would have did that.
Sweeping
man.
Under the bleachers.
I would have did.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I hope they find that creep.
It is, man, because it's just nasty, man.
Do that thing
somebody
on the court.
Would do that. It's a creepy situation.
This is gross.
We still haven't figured out how he got it in, though, right?
Snuck it in somehow.
Yeah.
Tucked it away.
Tucked
all right,
away.
Let's get to takeaways of the day.
The head is 77% water, hence the word
jug.
Yeah, man. Compliment if somebody calls you that. Randy's sweat doesn't stink.
No.
Randy's also not a funk faker.
Yeah.
He has a Karen mode.
Yeah. Karen Randy almost came out. You don't need that.
It'll park in my damn spot.
All right. We'll be at the Falcons training camp tomorrow, 11 a.m., Flowery Branch. Be there, be square. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.